Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello there, this is the Luke and Pete Show. My name is Pete Donaldson. Now, we had a bit of a problem with the Luke and Pete Show studio today. For some reason, as soon as Luke uttered the words, technically speaking, and he did say it like that, our technicals started blowing up and making weird noises. So we actually recorded about 45 minutes of just really glitchy, horrible audio. I've tried cleaning it up. Other people have tried cleaning it up. And it's not up to our usual standards. So what we're going to do for this Thursday/Friday morning only, we are going to bring you a little bit of best of action and 10 minutes of the show we're going to bring you anyway. So apologies if you're expecting a full brand new show. But there are some great little clips on this little impromptu Luke and Pete Show special. We've got a stone man stealing a monkey from a zoo. We've got people smuggling weird stuff on planes. And thirdly, we've got Luke's cats going on a diet and going a little bit cat crazy, so to speak. Apologies for this weird best of. Couldn't be helped. Microphones, compressors, Luke saying the word technicals. It all came together and mess things royally up. So we'll be back on Monday with a brand new Luke and Pete Show. But 10 minutes in, this is going to turn into a bit of a Luke and Pete Show special. Apologies.
Yes, yes.
Shut your noise, you fucking old cunt. It's the Luke and Pete Show coming at you. Cleopatra coming at you. Cleopatra.
What a modern reference. Mm. I'm Luke Moore, and alongside me is the Jimmy Savile of podcasting, Mr. Pete Donaldson.
jewellery.
Yeah.
I might start wearing jewellery. I wore a necklace for a costume last year, and I quite enjoyed the feel. I quite enjoyed the ceremony of putting a necklace on.
You see, Charlie, who works in our office, has got a necklace these days.
Right.
I've noticed it. I've noticed it, mate. Don't you worry about that.
He's also got a funky little coin purse.
Right, do you know where it is? It's around his neck,
right,
but it's also in my back pocket to ridicule him when I need it.
Okay, right.
Okay. Yeah. So what you'd do, you'd sport a necklace, would you? Perhaps a... Do you know what I'd like? Quite like one of those signet rings.
Mm.
It makes me look posh, but I'm not.
We chatted to a bloke from Love Island for a project last week, and he was wearing one of those... kind of bum bags, but they go across the chest.
Like Alex from Glastonbury.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting to the age where I can't make vault faces. I can't make
you can't
sharp
change
turns. I can't make sharp turns. I can't dye my hair. But I'm thinking that would actually be quite useful in the summertime because you don't want loads of keys and a hot phone in your pocket. You could do one of those little bags that go across you.
In the summertime, when the weather... Do they still have a little quick release clip, though? Because someone could just have that off you, couldn't they?
What, if it's got a quick release clip or it doesn't have?
If it does have one. Because they used to have a little pinch clip.
Right.
Bum bags.
Nobody's coming near my babies. Nobody's coming near my body.
Don't come near my babies.
Don't come near my babies.
Yeah, well, I think there's absolutely nothing to stop you at the age of 38 rocking a bum bag over your shoulder, mate.
You're right. I think you're bloody right.
Walking down the street looking like you're about to drop the most fire Hartlepool road rap record of 2019.
Well, Slotai was in the area.
He's from Northampton, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, but he was in the area doing a gig a little while ago.
I like Slotai. Mm. I'm all for it.
He's a young chap. He's a young skinny chap.
That's all you can ask for.
YouTuber King of Random dies in a paragliding accident.
Who's that? I don't know who
I don't know.
Is.
It's just on the front page of the BBC website. Grant Thompson.
Is that how you'd like to be remembered? YouTube King of Random.
King of Random. Oh, so he's like a guy who just does shit on YouTube. I saw it. We've lost two YouTubers recently, haven't we? Like, it was an Instagram influencer who died on one of those little toot-toot scooters.
Yes, there was. Scooters. Very sad, and, yeah.
It's weird, those things. They're allowed to be... You're allowed to import them, but they're not road legal. and they're not, you're not allowed to ride them on the street. So
yeah.
What exactly are they for exactly?
I saw a woman riding one today on my way to this office, going up the road just by the park there.
And also London, modern London, is littered with those little rideshare bikes where people just pop them down. The Lime bikes, the Uber ones.
Yeah.
It's just street trash.
London's letting itself down if those are still around and people haven't half-inched them. I mean, it's literally a free bike.
Do you remember
back in my day, any kid would be having it away.
Well, it's kind of, it must be quite difficult to get rid of the GPS trick.
Oh, yeah. The feds have always got your info now.
Yeah. And also, I imagine the chargers are probably quite difficult to figure out. And also, it's just a bit more, too much fuss, really. But I remember there was a Chinese rideshare bike thing about 5 years ago. And I think they lost billions of pounds on the deal because just the Chinese just stole all the bikes. Brilliant. Jesus.
Speaking of data,
as you should.
Of GPS data, I watched that Netflix. I actually watched two documentaries on Netflix yesterday. And the first one I was going to say to you, it's just reminded me, is one called The Great Hack.
Right.
Have you seen it?
Mm. Is that the Cambridge Analytica one?
Yeah, have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's quite good.
It's a trailer.
Quite good.
I'm just always constantly confused that. I'm just always constantly confused that people genuinely get shocked by this sort of business. Mm. Like with the FaceApp thing, people say, oh, they've got access to your photographs and they can use them in perpetuity. It's like Facebook has all of that lockdown.
They've been doing that for years.
But
the reason The Great Hack was perhaps more interesting, because I think a lot of people don't really think about it. They don't make the connection. They just think, oh, Facebook's nice for watching funny videos or keeping up with my family or whatever. I don't think about those ramifications. So that's point number one. But point number two is The Great Hack went down quite an interesting angle, which was there are people campaigning for your data rights to now be sat alongside human rights.
Mm.
Because data is one of the most valuable commodities in the world, right? Yeah. So you did give permission for some of your data to be taken, but you didn't give permission for all of your data to be taken. And the idea is, if it's a commodity, if it's something that people are trading on the New York Stock Exchange for billions and billions of dollars every year, then if it comes from you, it's yours, and you should have been paid for it.
Agreed.
So in future, data rights should be sat alongside human rights. That was kind of an interesting angle. But I think, sadly for us, the only sort of organization that I can really think of that's doing anything about that is the EU, and they are about to leave us.
2.1 billion no deal plan.
Oh, we're leaving them actually.
To maintain things like medicine. I've already started stockpiling my asthma medication.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that, guys.
I actually met a, it's serious that, but I actually met a lady a couple of weeks ago at a barbecue I was at, and her daughter is disabled and needs this medication every day. And without it, essentially she'll die.
Yeah.
And
would you trust the government?
No, I wouldn't, Pete, because I'll tell you what, she told me directly, she's had no assurances at all. No one knows what's happening.
No.
So the poor old people working at the NHS place near that where they live, obviously they're doing their best, but they're not in charge of, you know, of whether that can be obtained or not.
Maybe the disabled person can consume some Dunkirk spirit to lift her spirits.
Yeah, some optimism.
At a difficult time, some optimism.
Have you tried prescribing yourself
some optimism three times
a day?
Have you tried some Dunkirk spirit, madam?
Yeah.
Rub it on your legs. I don't know what's wrong with that, but rub it on yourself and you'll be fine.
You're not the doctor, so it's fine. It's perfectly acceptable.
It's perfectly acceptable for me. Exactly right.
Pete, in slightly more familiar territory to our listeners.
Right.
I have been looking
touching
at
a dolphin.
No, I've been looking at some more news stories on the BBC Newsround site.
Okay, right. Oh, the Newsround site. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And there's a brilliant, I'll tell you what, the Newsround section of the BBC website is arguably, and I will use that word under advice, arguably, the most interesting part of the BBC website.
Even those kind of like, you know, in your face exposés of, you know, child exploitation in Rwanda. Those kind of nice, kind of like scrolly down things where the pictures move and do crazy things and then charts
talking.
And things.
Hashtag long read.
Hashtag long read.
No, this one. What about this? Devon volcano up for sale for 50 grand.
Oh, I saw that. It was fun. Yeah. Fun.
Yeah.
It's shrouded by trees, isn't it?
It's known that only in the UK could you have a volcano, a magnificent force of nature seen all over the solar system as a signal of great power, spawning.
Have you been reading my grinder?
No, spawning.
A magnificent.
Spawning legends, historical stories, Zeus, all the rest of it. Could be called Posbury Clump.
Posbury Clump.
Yeah.
That's a fuck you, isn't it?
In Devon, they've called this inactive volcano. Admittedly, it's inactive. Posbury clump.
It's like a Fosbury flop.
Yeah, it is a bit. It's got its own woodland, and it's not likely to explode or erupt anytime soon. But 50 grand, not bad.
That's the thing I never understand, because volcanoes and, you know, forces of God and stuff just happen when they happen. It must be interesting to sort of like, surely scientists have been blindsided by things before where, oh, suddenly the clump is now an active volcano and it's spewing out lava. And watch out, everybody.
It's like Yellowstone, isn't it? It's a super volcano. Apparently it's tens of thousands of years overdue.
Yeah. I mean, ready to blow its top.
And it's so big, it'll probably wipe out, I'm going to say, the whole of the US.
It's got blue balls.
One thing,
it's got volcano blue balls.
Needs to bust at some point. Needs to bust a nut.
Bust a nut.
One thing I do have a kind of issue with on this story is this volcano is apparently 250 million years old. Right. 250 million year old piece of geological history. Technically speaking, the Earth is 4.5 billion years old anyway.
And it was at about this point our microphones went a bit crazy and we had to abort recording. And here is the best of. Enjoy. We'll be back on Monday with a new Luke and Pete show. Microphones willing.
Good. All right. Something that really grabbed my attention this week, Pete. I'm hoping you're unaware of this because it's so up your street. For me, the sweet spot is finding something that you're passionately interested in, but also that you haven't already seen.
Yeah, okay.
And because you're part internet, it's very, very difficult to do that.
Yeah.
Now, tell me if the headline for this story floats your boat, and I hope it floats those listening as well. Their respective boats. A lot of boats knocking about.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Stoned Kiwi, as in man from New Zealand.
Yes.
Breaks into zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Gets bashed by tiny monkeys.
Gets right. Bashed.
A 23-year-old man who was high decided he wanted to grab and take home a squirrel monkey. Now, there's many problems with that, of course. Mm. Cruelty to animals being one. Two being apparently it would massively break quite stringent security and public health protocols in New Zealand, because they've got a big thing about invasive species and all that kind of stuff. If indeed it was in New Zealand, but anyway, I imagine it would be a public health risk anyway. Apparently he grabbed some bolt croppers, smashed for a couple of padlocks because he noticed that I think the security on that particular enclosure
was the easiest monkey to grab.
I mean, yeah, and you would probably think that if someone said to you, right, you know, this message will self-destruct in a minute, but here's what you've got to do. I'm going to kill all your family or whatever. You've got to go and steal any type of primate.
I would watch that film.
From a zoo. Yeah, it would be a good film. You'd probably go... you would be forgiven for going for a squirrel monkey because they're small.
They're quite small, yeah. And adorable. They've got little cute little noses.
So apparently, he goes ahead and tries to do this. He bypassed an unsecured gate, broke through two padlocks. And it was New Zealand. It was at Wellington, in Wellington Zoo, apparently. And he was going to catch one of the zoo's squirrel monkeys. Mm. He wanted to take it home to his girlfriend. I mean, the exuberance of youth. What actually happened? And sadly, two of the squirrel monkeys were injured in this incident, which obviously is dreadful. But the name of the guy, which escapes me, John sadly came out of the cage with a broken leg, two fractured teeth, a sprained ankle, and bruises all over his body.
Sorry? Like, how did he do that?
Apparently, they just descended on him.
You can't break... A squirrel monkey cannot break someone's leg. He clearly just fell over.
How many of them, though? Listen, you know that age-old question about would you rather fight like a lion-sized duck or...
Well, he got his answer, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got his answer.
They're the injuries he came out with.
Monkeys.
How did he get the two fractured teeth? One of them was giving him a right-hander. I love it. I love that.
Smashed a nut in his face. The squirrel monkeys are not squirrels, Pete. Don't be a dick.
The only thing that could make this story better would be that if he came out covered in monkey shit because they were just flinging shit at him from the trees.
I think I always find that the you know, chimps throwing shit and monkeys throwing shit has been a bit of a misnomer.
Right.
I worked in the zoo. I never saw that happen. I saw them masturbate lots of times.
Because they see you as a kindred spirit, that's why. But apparently this guy, he had been, he was wanted for a load of unrelated offences anyway.
Oh, monkey-related offences? Does that count as unrelated?
Other ones, yeah, okay. Other ones. And so he ended up, I think he ended up going inside for a bit. But apparently, yeah, squirrel monkeys only grow to 35 centimetres and weigh no more than a kilo.
Oh, that's so cute.
But they've got the largest brain-to-body mass ratio of all the primates.
So
they probably out-thought him. Set him a series of challenges so he could get out.
It's like Home Alone, but
yeah, it is. But there you go. So I thought you'd enjoy that, mate.
I did enjoy that.
You hadn't seen that story before, no?
No, I hadn't. And on the Football Ramble, our sister station, our mother station, if you will, a mothership. I had a nightmare, didn't I, with the old monkeys? I was trying to count to 10 kinds of monkeys.
You didn't even say squirrel monkey.
No, I didn't. No,
no you
they don't come to mind, to be honest. But I did say I said lemurs were monkeys. They're not. They are primates, but they're.
I was surprised when you said that, and yeah. I called you out on it on the show. Yeah. And I think it's a sort of error that a man of your estimable knowledge shouldn't be confused
by their tails. I always think, because all monkeys have tails. Macaques are monkeys.
But lemurs, as far as I understand it, lemurs have evolved independently, right? Mm. And you only get them on what, Madagascar, maybe.
Yeah.
And so that they're
that's why they've evolved completely different to everything else.
And
no natural predators. They've got two tongues.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One hard tongue to groom each other.
Oh, keep going.
Oh, I'd love a second tongue.
It's not one of those Japanese porn movies again. One thing that's fascinating about that, do you know the species native to Madagascar called the ai?
Mm.
It's got a really long
finger to get finger. Termites and stuff.
Well, apparently, evolutionary speaking, that finger performs exactly the same role as woodpeckers do in Northern Europe.
Ah, is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tapping and pulling out bugs and that kind of stuff, grubs and that's apparently it works in exactly the same way, but it's evolved independently.
They look
divergent
like,
evolution, I think it's called, or convergent evolution.
They look like bats. They're weird little things. If you ever are lucky enough to be in a zoo where there's an eye, you will rarely see them because I think they're almost completely nocturnal. They're incredibly strange looking things.
They've got one at Bristol Zoo, and it's almost impossible to see it. And it's in the what would you call the enclosure where it's always nighttime, a nocturnal enclosure, and it just sits at the back. But the thing about that is, the reason they became so endangered is because local people thought that they would steal their souls and stuff if they caught eye contact with them. Which, if you come from a different background to us, I mean, it's sort of understandable, really.
That's a spooky looking animal.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd be if I saw one now, if I'm walking back down, Upper Street in Islington, and I'm presented with an eye going through one of the bins, I would shit a brick. I'd absolutely shit a brick.
But it's like the, I don't think it was the spookiest thing, Paul Bearer from the wrestling. If you saw Paul Bearer walking
down
the
street. That's his full name, Paul Bearer from the wrestling.
If you saw him walking down the street with an urn, you'd be like, oh, stay away from that guy.
But I find it...
He's either spooky or mental. I'm not having either.
No, it could be both. Mm. I've got a situation where a fox keeps digging up my garden.
Yeah.
So I have to keep going out there and repairing the flower beds and stuff. And if I go out there on my own at night and I come face to face with a fox, I wouldn't say I'm scared, but there's like an element of sort of intimidation.
Yeah.
And that's just a fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know I read that tabloid story years ago about the fox that stole that baby or whatever. Mm. I know that's probably not true. I can't really remember the detail. But there's an element of sort of jeopardy there.
Yeah.
If you were living in Africa or somewhere where they actually have quite dangerous animals, I mean, you went out to your back garden. I mean, it happens up in where my wife's from. Sometimes you get bears going through the bins and stuff. I mean, you absolutely shit yourself.
I've got to go camping in Zimbabwe in a few weeks' time.
That's a curveball. Please tell me more.
Remember I went to Kenya last year and I saw that hippo get hit in the face with a tray, by the way.
T-tray. Clang.
I've got to go to Zimbabwe in a week's time. And I've got a bed down in a tent, I believe.
What's the
same charity, Practical Action, to do great work in Zimbabwe. Apparently.
Well, we look forward to hearing
Zimbabwe's
about that.
You got to fly to either Nairobi or you got to change in South Africa and fly back up again. It's crazy. Johannesburg, you got to fly back up again.
You can't fly direct to Zimbabwe.
No, 16 hours.
Why can't you fly direct there?
I don't know. It might be there.
You sure you can fly to Harare, no?
No, you can't fly direct. Not anymore anyway.
I was reading that.
I think just the fact that the country's a bit of a fucking mess politically. I think it's Air Zimbabwe's not allowed to fly. They're one of those kind of banned airlines.
I read only this morning that you got a little sniffle.
I got a cough. I've had it for like 2 weeks. Terrible.
I was reading only this morning, and this is gonna sound like I'm saying this to shit you up, but I genuinely didn't read it. And that they've banned public assembly in the short term in Zimbabwe because there's been a cholera outbreak.
Ooh.
And I think they might be quite close to declaring a state of emergency.
Oh, good.
Anticipation of U-turn.
I had me shots for Kenya, to be fair. Okay. But if it ruins my holiday, that's 2 weeks later, I'm going to be annoyed.
It's not a holiday, it's a working trip.
Okay, Luke, don't...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Gunge me, mate.
Pipe down, Pete. I told you never to argue with the customers.
Where'd you think you're going, baby?
Good
there
point.
You go. Where do you think you're going, baby?
Isn't the video on that? She thinks she's cracking on with the lad. And
He's a gayman.
He's a gayman.
Yep.
He's a gayman.
And we all have a bloody good laugh about it, don't we?
Oh, imagine not fancying Child Charlie Ray
Carly Jetsons. What's happened to
the
you?
Charlie Ray Jetson.
Imagine not enjoying the Jetsons.
Meet his wife. No, Jane, his wife.
I can't remember the theme tune to that.
Yeah, it was Meet George Jetson. Jane, his wife. His boy, Elroy.
Do the rest of the show like that. best ever kids cartoon theme tune. It's got to be...
Whatever you're going to say, it's not going to be Ulysses, so shut up.
Fuck's sake. I was going to say Ulysses 31.
Yeah! High fives.
Yeah, that was quite weak by you. Almost as weak as your handshake, Pete. But that's another story.
I think people who mug people off with hard handshakes are pathetic. Mine isn't limp. It's firm. It's fine. It's tender even.
It's not firm enough.
I go in for the hug more times.
Pete, absolutely right. You know, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying there. There's a sweet spot, okay? Those people who try and Donald Trump strong arm you with a big, big heavy one, I ain't got time for those people. But those people who deliver up a lettuce leaf, I don't want that either.
Well, I was watching
sweet spot.
I'm happy with my handshake, especially because I have very small hands. So, whatever I do.
How many irate weak handshakes you see around here? Just one.
Yeah. So, there's a bit, actually, talking about Donald Trump strong-arming, there's a clip of, I've been watching WrestleMania recently because of the thingy Wrestle Me, the podcast Wrestle Me, you should all listen to, early convenience, because Donald Trump is featured in two of them because they're in the Trump Plaza, I think it's 4 and 5.
He
and,
turns up at a couple of them, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's interviewed by one of the presenters, and like he does this kind of power play where he just really stares at the person interviewing, like really like staring at them. Like, he just doesn't break gaze at all at any point.
Right.
Yeah, weird.
He's a very strange man.
Just men who've just spent too much time in finance or around the wrong people.
Yeah, quite. I don't think, everything you need to know about Donald Trump can probably be answered by an 80s self-help book, I expect. Mm. But I don't have any interest in telling other people what their politics should be and all the rest of it, and it's not about that. But
I do.
You absolutely do, that's right. But what it is about is less about politics and more about knowing a complete idiot when you see one. It's not politics. It's not political. The guy's an idiot. That's it.
No.
Yeah, I've got no problem with people with different opinions to me on politics, of course. Yeah. But that guy is an idiot, and it's only fair to say so. Let's go into the emails, Peter. I'd like to start with this one, if it's okay with you.
Okay.
It's one we didn't get around to last time by a chap by the name of Damien Cunningham.
Whoa, where do you think you're going, baby?
Where do you think you're going, Damie?
Yeah.
Greetings, chaps, he says. The lad who transported that toad from South Africa back to the UK, now I think that was probably 3 or 4 episodes ago, might feel as though he's incredibly unlucky to have done so, and he is to a degree. Like that from Damien. Nice little assessment of what's been going on so far.
I was watching one of my mum's favourite TV shows is New Zealand Customs. A show about New Zealand Customs, basically.
Yeah.
So it's just people like hiding cocaine in their pants and stuff like that.
You know,
there's some lovely stories on that.
In Australia and New Zealand, they are very, very hot on it. When I was out in New Zealand and I signed for a football team there, I got my parents to send my football boots over and
classic.
I know, and the captain of the team, he made up a story and got me to believe it that New Zealand customs had impounded them because they have bits of British grass on them and they wouldn't let them come into the country. Anyway, but apparently they're very strict on it. Anyway, Damien
are you,
also
are you
says,
comparing yourself to a drug lord?
No.
A drug baron?
No. No. Grass. I mean actual
importing
grass.
Importing cleats.
Damien's got a couple of examples. Anyway, the reason he's emailed in is because he's got a couple of examples of things that have gone through airport customs in airports around the globe. And on that subject, by the way, there's an Instagram account worth following called TSA.
Which is the
American airport customs guys, and they do a great account of photographing stuff they've confiscated off flights.
Mm.
It's brilliant. It's like amazing stuff on
there's
there.
There's some great lost. I think 3 Coachellas ago, they released basically a picture of some of the more interesting lost and found items they had. So many bow ties. A surprising amount of bow ties.
Why do you reckon bow ties are lost so much?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't look like they were from waiting staff or anything, but you know. Coachella, man. It's a crazy place.
Damon said, anyway, in 2012, a man in New York at a regional airport tried to get a fully gassed up power chainsaw on his flight and was permitted to bring it on. Once he emptied out the fuel.
That would just stink, wouldn't it?
And also,
no matter how...
It's still dangerous without fuel. It's got spikes on it.
It's not that spiky, does it? You could bring a spike of a... Yeah, you could bring a tooth to it.
If I took a chainsaw, right, and stood you up there, took a chainsaw, didn't turn it on, and actually took a massive swipe at you with it, it would hurt you.
Yeah, but in the same way, you could probably bring a big hammer on them. Could you bring a hammer?
I don't think so.
I brought a sword once onto a plane, but it was plastic.
They have to be checked. They're blunt, don't they?
That was in Sweden.
Anyway, in 2009, apparently, according to Damien, a man travelling into Australia from Dubai was promptly arrested when going through airport security for having 2 live pigeons contained in padded envelopes strapped to his ankles. The man gave no rhyme or reason as to why he was transporting the feathered rats in such a manner. However, the most outrageous and daring case of smuggling contraband through airport customs only to fail miserably award goes to Gitta Jarrant and her stepdaughter, Anka Anusik, and Gitta's 91-year-old husband, Kurt. Although Kurt really should be exempt from any blame for this, and you'll see why. The German family were visiting Liverpool in 2010, and while there, Kurt tragically passed away. His wife and stepdaughter were clearly so distraught with his passing, they abandoned all rational thinking and came down with a case of grief-stricken stinginess as they made their way back to Berlin. They opted to put old dead Kurt into a wheelchair and had the audacity not to declare him deceased and transport him appropriately back to his homeland, instead opting to put sunglasses on him, wheeling about the airport in Liverpool and inform a suspicious airport security that he was a bit worn out from such a fun-packed holiday.
Look at him. Give him a wave.
Naturally, it reminds me of the film, is it Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he snaps the guy's neck in the seat next to him on the plane.
leave him. He's dead tired. Naturally,
yeah,
the airport.
Yeah, that's the film this reminds you of.
Naturally, the
airport. Out of all the possible films it's going to remind you of.
I was also going to say Weekend at Bernie. Naturally, the airport staff weren't buying this. Gitta and Anuska were detained and arrested for not declaring a death as immediately as possible. And a coroner concluded Curto had been dead up for 12 out for up to 12 hours. The ladies were eventually released on bail and claimed ignorance, while Kurt is probably in the unclaimed baggage locker. Baggage locker to this day. Proof you're more likely to die on the ground than on the air when travelling abroad. Just try not to become a Weekend at Bernie's parody if you do die while on your travels. That's from Damien.
That's wonderful. Oh, Kimmy Schmidt is back.
Oh, right. I couldn't really get into it.
I think it's on the fourth season, there's so many people in my life sort of say that exact same thing. I can't get into it. And these are the same people who love 30 Rock. These are the same people who love Arrested Development.
I haven't seen that.
Well, again, you like The In-Betweeners, so we're all ready. You thought In-Betweeners was not as good as...
No.
So you said The In-Betweeners was better than Peep Show.
Yeah.
We've discussed this on the show.
I think
before.
It is.
Such a weird thing to say.
I think In-Betweeners
genuinely,
is...
Genuinely, that makes me fear for the future of humanity and you as well.
That's fair enough.
You'll get electrocuted at some point with that kind of behaviour.
is that a threat or like a worry?
It's really good. It's back and it's really good after the disappointment of the new Arrested Development season, which isn't very good. The Kimmy Schmidt back is fantastic. Titus Andronicus back on form.
Have you ever seen The Good Place?
Yes, and I didn't care for it.
I quite like that.
I watched the first couple of episodes and we've spoken about that before, haven't we?
I think we might
Ted Danson's having some kind of, he's having a bit of an Indian summer, isn't he?
A resurgence. But you're never really out of the game fully if you're an actor with that sort of experience under your belt, though. You might have a few fallow years, but at some point someone's going to bring you back because they're going to, it's like with John Travolta, isn't it, with Pulp Fiction?
I think that The Man from Highlander should come back.
Christopher Lambert, is that?
Yes.
I wonder what he's been up to.
He's done a few bits and bobs. You know, he's legally blind. All of his
Isn't that
scenes...
a film with Reese Witherspoon?
What? That's back as well with a new one. He can't act with his spectacles on unless the spectacles are required. But he's got such extreme myopia, he has to film all of his scenes completely blind, and he's damaged himself on more than one occasions because of a sharp sword here and there.
Really? That's funny.
So there we
go. I thought you were going to say, such extreme myopia, he will not listen to anyone else's opinions. What has he been doing since Highlander?
Just bits and bobs.
Apart from Highlander 2, The Quickening, obviously.
The Quickening.
Yeah, I can't see anything in his list here that I recognise.
No, but he's still working. He's due a resurgence.
Oh, he's in Hail Caesar. Isn't that a Coen Brothers movie?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Very good.
I haven't seen it.
The trailer looked amazing. The film was dreadful. If you and also do for a research, and I think someone who should come back as a baddie, you know that guy in, I can't remember his damn name now, but he was the man who owned the advertising billboard shop in Three Billboards.
I haven't seen it.
Right. Well, he is a man. Three Billboards cast. I'm Googling it. The man, Caleb Landry Jones. I think he's a singer as well.
Okay.
He's got such an interesting, horrible face. He's so good in everything I've seen, and he's going to be a big, big star of Anthony Hopkins' scale, I think.
Oh, I do recognise him.
He's wonderful.
He looks a bit like...
He's so creepy.
Yeah, he looks a bit like a sort of Macaulay Culkin when he was in that difficult phase.
So, this is what I'm saying. Macaulay Culkin needs to come back as a baddie in a film. He'd be brilliant at it.
He would. And that kid you're talking about there is the son of the family in Get Out.
Yes, he is. Yeah,
he
plays a lot of brothers. Plays a lot of shitty brothers in stuff. He was in a film called a film with Michael Pena and one of the Skarsgårds recently.
Okay, right.
I love misremembering films.
What were we talking about at the top there? Before I was going to say something, and you sidetracked me with your
Macaulay
Culkin. Blonde.
Macaulay Culkin.
No, it's way before that.
Caleb Landry Jones.
Oh, that's what I was going to tell you because we normally sort of talk a little bit about what we've been up to. And I had to take my two cats, Hercules and Magnus, to the vet for their annual checkup.
Right.
Which is
still
a faff.
Still a cat, Mr. Moore.
Yeah, they're
still a couple of bloody cats, mate.
That's what the vet said.
Mm.
They're both cats, obviously. And anyway, on the third appointment, because I had to cancel the first two because they wouldn't come in, because they got some sort of weird sixth sense, and they know they're going to the vet and they don't want to do it, so they just disappear. I took them to the vet, and they were fine. But Sadly,
one
Peter.
Of them started smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been smoking, yeah. Hercules?
No, they're both overweight. They both put on a kilo.
Ah, so fat cats.
So they've had to go on diets, right?
Yes.
One of them, Hercules, has taken it pretty. He's taken it on the chin. He's been all right about it. He's been stoic. He's just getting on with it. The other one, Magnus, who's a diva anyway, has gone completely mad to the point of where he walked up to the other one the other day and just smacked him upside the head and hissed in his face because he's so hungry. And when we got back from the World Cup party on last Monday night...
He'd eaten a batter sausage.
He'd brought in a massive frog.
Yeah. Did he not eat it?
Nope.
Oh, he just brought it in.
You know, frogs are...
Is that misbehaviour, though? That's what cats do, isn't it?
Showing off, wants attention, yeah. Wants all that kind
right,
of stuff.
Okay.
I felt sorry for the frog, obviously. I picked the frog up, put it outside, and hoped it would be okay, but it wasn't. I had to bury it the next day. But anyway, the weird thing about it was, drink had been taken. It was late at night.
And I ate the frog.
The frog was covered in what I didn't know at the time, was cat hair.
Right.
So I was like, what's a furry cat? What sort of animal is this? It took me ages to work it out. They've been playing up badly.
When I was in Korea with Mark, who does the other podcast.
Wrestle Me. Yeah.
He was convinced, he likes the way he started us, Mark, but he was convinced that he was looking in the window of a pet shop and he saw like a hedgehog, but with really long spindly legs. Right. And then when he kept looking at it, the man ran over and covered up the cage with a cloth.
This didn't happen. It's like this is the plot of Gremlins.
That's what he said. He said there was a hedgehog with big long spindly legs. And it's actually quite an evocative image, a hedgehog.
So what was it?
We never found out because the man covered up the cage.
Well, surely you'd be asking questions.
Yeah, you would be asking questions.
Surely you'd be going, I'm Sarah Koenig and this is cereal. And over the next 10 weeks, we're going to find out what it was in that pet shop.
So weird.
That's a great theme. Hello at lukeandpeacher.com. What is the oddest animal that you can't explain that you've seen in a pet shop? We'll get loads of emails about that. Loads.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.